Good morning. Happy New Year. Ready to be a happy new you? You probably were happy before this, right? And you're going to continue with that process, correct? Of course, right? We want to teach you some things this year, though. We want to help you have spiritual enrichment and growth in 2016. And so that's why we know that we have to minister to the entire body, meaning the body of Christ here, the congregation, but we also know that you are made up of mind, body, and spirit, or soul. We know that. And so we know that as the scriptures show us, it's important that we minister to those things and help enlighten you and help you find a way to be transformed more and more into Christ's likeness, right? We're here as Christ lives in us. We're here to become more and more Christ-like, less of the world, more like God, right? So we have heaven on earth, if you will. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you about your mind. Your mind. Because the mind is where everything begins for us all. When God created us, God gave us a mind. He gave us thoughts. He gave us the ability through our mind to create and co-create with God. It's also the way in which we communicate, is it not? While I'm talking to you right now, I could mention a given word. I could say tree, and you're going to visualize a tree, are you not? Now, every person in the room has probably got a different picture of a different tree, though, right? Correct? I know we just had Christmas, and there's the Christmas tree, but there's a bazillion, it seems, types of trees that are out there, aren't there? Right? And so we all have memories in our mind because our mind is much like a computer. It's very much like a recording device. Everything from the time you were in your mother's womb until today, you literally have been recording feelings, sights, sounds, taste, and smell. Correct? Right. And don't you love just walking into a room and that smell of cinnamon and apples baking? Can you smell it? Doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, Do we have any here? No. But your mind can take you to that place, can it? Right? It's called memory, what we remember. There are so many memories that each of us have stored inside of us. Good, bad, and indifferent. Some are more significant than others. The very first car you bought. Everybody remember the car? You remember it? Oh, absolutely. Of course you do. Yes, because it was so significant. The first kiss. Okay, all right. We don't want to go. All right, okay, easy. Maybe the first pet you had. Oh, yeah. That's probably better than the first kiss. No, just kidding. Depends. We have so much stored in our mind, don't we? We do, but you're not conscious of it all the time until somebody brings up a specific word or something, a place you go, a symbol that you see. Your mind stores everything in here, and it then makes meaning to you as a result. Like that warm apple cinnamon smell, apple pie, You notice how there's a connection between a positive thought, right, in our mind, to a positive feeling, right? When you're in the presence of God, in the quiet, when you feel God's presence come upon you, and God envelops you and hugs you, and you feel a warmth, you feel a safety, a security that is nothing like anything else in the world, is it? You feel peace, right? You see how that is really just, I just was describing something in words, thought, right? See, words have power because that's how we relate in our mind. We understand the significance of words. Words then lead to feelings, which then can lead to actions. Some of us get motivated by certain words. Run! See, that would be, right, yeah, there you go, see? Laughter. When you know, things get triggered inside of us through our mind, does it not, right? So it's important, first and foremost, as we embark upon this new year, it's going to be critical that each of us have a renewing of our mind. Because sometimes some of the memories that we hold, some of the beliefs and the values that we hold are positive for us, and some are not so positive, correct? There are some what I call limiting beliefs, things that you believe about how far, how high, how much you can be. That's called a limiting belief. You put a limit on it in your mind. Where? In your mind, in your thought life, correct? And then there are empowering beliefs, things that you believe are totally possible for you, right? And so based on how you think, as you see success for you, that's going to determine whether or not you get there, right? Right? Because that will determine your motivation as well as your action. So you see, everything begins where? In the mind. What you see, hear, and feel on a regular basis. And here's the beauty of the mind. What you see in the future, you literally can create. We call that prayer, right? That's telling the future in advance. Now, my question to you is this. How many of you are conscious of what goes on in your mind? All the time? Some of the time? See, there's something also called the subconscious mind. It's below the surface, right? It's our conscious mind is, right now, think about all the brown things in the room. Look around and see the brown. See it? See the brown? See the brown. You're consciously looking for brown. Now, how much green was there? Oh, see, you wouldn't be able to see the green if you're looking at the... You see how your mind can only hold one thought at a time and focus one thing at a time, correct? You see how the mind works. So whatever you focus on will definitely be what you see, hear, and feel and or create. That's consciously doing it, right? So if you're subconsciously doing some things, anybody here remember how they tie their shoes? Anybody here have to think about it consciously? How is it done? Automatic. Just like that, right? Automatic. Just like that. That's what the subconscious mind does. It's below the surface. You don't have to consciously think about it. You automatically do it. Right? Now, what about reactions that you have? Are some of those automatic? Based on what? Past experience. What you experienced in the past will also be what you react to in the present, whether you go, or ugh, right? You see what I'm saying? And life is nothing but all of those experiences, and they're held where? In the mind. Now, how many of you would like to react differently to some circumstances in your life? Whoa, yay, in a more positive way? How do you suppose it's going to happen? Conscious thought of how to do that, correct. Consciously thinking about it. Anybody want a new habit this year? You have to state it in the positive how you want it to be. For example, I want to be calm and serene and at peace. I want to eat healthy foods. I heard it from the second row there. Now, if you begin to focus on those things, what do you suppose is going to happen? Possibly. What's happening in the subconscious, however? It's going, here's, I want that cinnamon apple pie. how easy. Here's the thing I know about your mind. Unless it's aligned, spiritually speaking, unless it's really, 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 really important to you to change, and you don't have a positive reason for the change, an outcome that's over here that's a reward, you are not most likely going to do it. That's just human nature. That's how it works. So it's very important to imagine what it's going to be like as you're healthy. What's a healthy person look like, sound like, feel like? What's that like? Have you ever been healthy? Yeah. I was about 12 and I weighed about 100 pounds. Quite athletic. But I can remember what that was like. So if we can remember everything in our life, can we not start doing it in the present moment? Yes, can't we? It has to be important enough, however. You understand what I'm saying? You have to have a really, really, really good reason. Studies show that people that set goals, in fact, there was a study done years and years and years and years ago with Yale and Harvard students who you would expect to be very successful, correct? Go to there. They're supposed to be successful people in many numerous ways. 97% of the people that left college did not set any goals of what they wanted to become. 3% did of those graduating classes. Of the 3% that set goals, they made more successful incomes, relationships, situations than all the 97% combined. Is that not power in conscious thinking about what it is you want? Now, if you have a good reason for it, even more so, like you want to help your family with that, you want to help your people in your community benefit from what you bring in, say, financially speaking, or you, because you're healthier, you can go do more things and have more fun and dance the night away and have all kinds of great things going on in your life, more energy, right? You see how important it is to do those kind of things to find what's important to you first and foremost. We call that what you value. Most likely, none of us would walk. I used to be afraid of heights, which used to be a problem for me. The reason it used to be is I learned how to train my mind into overcoming what the fear was. And, you know, if I were going to walk between a building that was, you know, 10 stories up, it'd be like on a plank like that, I might want to think about, okay, is there a safety net under there, right? However, if my little Gracie dog had walked out of that window, I'd be right out there on that ledge, right? Yeah, yes, I would. Becky would be yelling in the background, "What are you doing? You want to kill yourself?" But you see, when you value something, when something's that important, you're willing to go almost give up your life for it, right? You see, it's critical that in our mind, we determine for ourselves, first and foremost, before you set your goals about what you want to be, do, and have for the coming year. What do you value? What's important to you? Family, church, service, relationships, whatever it is for you, good health. Whatever it is for you is what you value. Quality time with good friends, whatever it might be. Those are the things you value. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to get that in line first. Once you know that, and it might only be five values. For example, if you're in a relationship, I think faithfulness is a number one value. At least for me it is. It's caused, what would cause me to leave? What would cause me to stay? Faithfulness is very high in my value system. Loyalty is important to me in friendship. So if you want to be my friend a long term, you better be a loyal. Oh, sorry. Anyway, and I also see loyalty on my end towards, you see? Those are things that I can describe and say that's what I value, right? I value God and everything God represents, right? I know you do too. That's why you're sitting here. So when you know that, then you can put a template up against that as you set those things in your mind that you want to become and focus on for this coming year in your mind, because that's where it begins. Know what you value. And make sure what you're asking for from God aligns with your values. Because I know this. You ever heard of self-sabotage? Oh, yeah. How many of us really do that well? Yeah, we get so far and stop. There's a few reasons for that, psychologically speaking. Most important one is if we don't value something that much, we're going to stop short of it. Because it's not important to give up all this time to have this over here. You know, I sell cars for a living, right? But I'm not about to throw away my integrity for the almighty dollar, although I could many times, trust me, right? I refuse to do that. My value system is too high. So you see, there's a difference there. Money's important, yes, for what it can do for others, but it's not important to give up our soul for that, right? We understand that. So you have to know that about yourself. What do you really value? Because if you go in conflict with that, you're not going to achieve the thing you're writing down. If it affects your, what we call ecology, your family, well-being, you're not going to do something in that achievement either. Many, many years ago, I wanted to move to Dallas, Texas. I was going to be the president of a company, be a squillionaire. Whatever. Her family was so important to her, she asked me not to go. Church was about to begin here. So both of us had good, valuable reasons not to go do that. Do you see what I'm saying? It would have affected our ecology, our well-being as a family dynamic. So we stayed. Here we still are. Thank you, anyway. As you make decisions in the coming year, put it up against what you value. Because any time, see, part of the reason we sometimes self-sabotage is we disappoint ourselves. If we don't live up to our value system and we do something that infringes on that, we get what we call guilt. And then we feel as though we have to be punished for what we didn't do. Or we violated a value of ourselves or others. And consequently, we stop ourselves short. We won't give ourselves a reward. But here's what's important. Forgive yourself. Because that's one of the biblical principles that we all live by, don't we? You do not have to punish yourself if you don't live up to your own expectations. Would that be a good resolution this year? Would that be a good resolution this year? Okay. The word tells us in Romans 12, chapter 2. I'm sorry, verse 2. 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, by changing your mind. The beauty of human beings is God gave us the ability to change our mind at any given moment. For example, if I don't feel like preaching anymore, I can just step down and go sit. I change my mind. You take over. I changed my mind. I'll keep preaching. Okay, so. We have the ability to change our mind just like that, right? Just like that. If you don't like the way your life is going, change what you're doing. Change the way you're thinking. Anybody in the room a little too negative? Huh? Only about yourself? Well, you're going to change that, aren't you? You're going to start thinking different things about yourself. What could you begin to think about yourself right now that's positive? I'm here. Yes, you are. You're in the right place. And God will help transform your mind. Correct? And it doesn't matter what we think about her, does it, for her sometimes? It's what she thinks about her. Correct? Right. Yes. Now, see, we're going to get rid of things like that. See, when we make a statement, that's called a limiting belief right there that says, I'm my own worst enemy. I am my own worst enemy. I am my own worst enemy. I used to be. Very nice. She changed it to diddly. She changed her mind. Right. I'm my own best friend. Right. I love and accept myself no matter what. Even though I screw up, mess up, make all kinds of mistakes because I'm a human being. And I don't always do what I want to do, and I don't always think the way I want to think. I'm going to change that consciously by affirming what I want to become. You transform your life by transforming your mind. If you do not change your mind, you will not change your life. I can guarantee you that. I promise you. Anybody in this room used to be a smoker. Used to be. Right? You changed your mind. That's what stopped that habit. You changed it. You made a decision. There's power in decisions that you make. People here in this room who are sober. Right? You changed your mind about that. Drinking or drugs or other addictions. Right? You said, I am a sober person. I'm a non-smoker. I'm a non-drinker. Right? You see, when you focus on what you want, and it begins where? In your mind. Isn't it good to know that God gives you the power? Remember when God said in Genesis to Adam and Eve, I give you dominion. I give you control over all this world. What do you think that meant? That whatever you choose to think in your mind, you can have it. What the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Napoleon Hill said that. But it's also in the Word of God. We transform ourselves into a new person by the way we think. Now, if we talked about tying our shoes being a habit and reacting being a habit, how are you going to make these new habits happen? Hallelujah, I got to... Change your thinking. I like it. Right? All right, so we know what we don't want, correct? Right? We know. Listen, we're going to clean the slate. If I could get a scrub brush and scrub out your minds and erase all the negatives, all the negative beliefs, all the limiting beliefs that you used to have, all the things you thought were true about you that particularly are negative, or how far you think you can go, and how, you know, this is just the way I am. It's going to continue this. I tried last year, and I know it's a new year, but, you know, I never do it. Why bother setting resolutions anyway? I'm only going to. You see how you are? You finished my sentences. Now, is that what you want to be true for you?
No.
Let me just ask you that. Okay. So why don't we change that wording then, huh? Right? Remember we were focusing on brown before? See, if you're going to focus on failing, what's going to happen? You'll succeed at failing. Yes, you will. One thing in the mind that's called the reticular activator. Pretty cool word. It means that our mind is a magnet, period, in layman's terms. Whatever you want and you put in front of your mind's eye, you will achieve and have. I can remember one particular Bible study. We talked all about root beer floats. Remember that Bible study? I was trying to teach something about food, I guess, or something like that. We talked about root beer floats on Sundays. And we left the Bible study. Where do you think we ended up? Sonic! I proved my point. We did. We're here to tell the truth. See, sometimes it's important not to just teach theory, right? See, here's the thing. Whatever you want to have in your life this next year, you create it from your mind. You do. And then your thoughts become things. They really do. And in order to have a new life, you have to start thinking in a new way. And if you've never done it before, you start small. Just start with one small little thing that you want to be this year. What would you want to be? What word would you want to describe you this year? What? Christ-like. What else? Peaceful. Servant. Calmer. Humble. Humble. Happy. Positive. Healthy. Sharing. Generous. You've got two words. See how it expands on itself? Listener. Now, imagine what it would be like to be that. Just see, hear, and feel right now what it would be like. Step into that right now in your own mind's eye. Visualize what it would be like. As you see yourself being that word that you want to be, healthy, sharing, generous, kind, positive, what does it look like, sound like? What are you saying to yourself? What are other people saying to you? What's it feel like inside? What's it feel like to know that God is there inside of you to help you become all you want to be? To know that within you is the energy of the universe. In the very center of your heart and soul and mind, God lives and reigns and believes in you and gives you authority to have anything and everything you want for a happy, content, safe, healthy, whole, wonderful life. Does that feel good, church? Did you see yourself there? Now, that picture that you have all individually in your minds, hold that picture every moment of the day. As the day begins, visualize that. See that. Feel that. Think about that. You know what you value. You know why you want to do this. And then God will help you in your thinking process to do that. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you." If you want perfect peace, the kind of peace that comes no matter what is going on in your life, fix your thoughts, your mind. Let your mindset and your focus be on God, right? And all God is, all the character of who God is. Is God generous? Yes. Is God a servant? Yes. Is God peaceful? Yes. Is God calm? Yes. Is God powerful? Yes. Now, when you start to focus on who God is, and you touch your belly right here. See right here? This is where God is in me. It's like above my belly button right there. I don't know. That's where God is for me. Right in the middle there. And you say, God's in here. And maybe you come up to your heart and you say, God's in here. Right? And anytime you go to face anything in this life ahead of you, you remind yourself, God's in here. God's in here. Oh, and our mind, remember the mind? Where's God? In here. I know something about God because I've been with God a long time, and God's been with me a long time, since before my birth, actually. I actually remember God saying to me, go be with your mother, and you have much to do. I remember hearing that loud and clear. Some of us remember our birth. Some of us don't. But throughout your life, God can speak to you if you are still and quiet. For those of you that weren't here New Year's Eve, everybody got a Q-tip, right? Quiet time in prayer. Q-tip. When you're quiet and you're by yourself with God, allow your mind to just be emptied. Ask the Lord to empty your mind of your thoughts. And ask God then to fill your mind with the thoughts that God would have you have for your day, your week, your month, your year. When you involve God in taking over your mind and taking captive your mind consciously, you can tremendously change your life for the better. Which is what my prayer is for all of you. Now, here's the thing. As in all sermons, I've told you, gave you great wisdom, great advice, phenomenal, phenomenal teaching. As always. What are you going to do with it? Listen and do. See yourself the way you want to see yourself in this coming year. But it's going to begin where? In your mind. Whatever you feed your mind, keep in mind, will grow. Feed your thoughts good affirmations. Speak to yourself kindly and gently. And here's a great word, by the way. If some of you might find yourself going back to that automatic response where you start thinking, I don't know if I can do this because it's too hard, right? That would be a negative statement, would it not? I'm going to teach you an awesome word. I need a volunteer. Pastor Tosh, come help me. I want you to run down. Thank you for volunteering. Volunteering. I'm going to ask you to run down to the aisle, down the aisle for me. Stop! Now, do you notice that word? Stop. You notice that word. Go. Stop. Now, you notice. Okay. That's fine. Anybody want to yell a word out to her? See, here's the beauty. Here's the thing about our mind. Whatever you consciously tell your mind, your subconscious is like a little child. Think of it that way. Studies have shown that it's about the age of 6. I don't know about you, but I don't want a 6-year-old running my life. Just saying. I know there'll be lots of root beer floats and apple pie and candy and ice cream. But I won't be healthy. That would I say I wanted to be up here as an adult, right? The conscious mind, think of it as the adult self. You consciously tell the child, stop. You understand? Powerful, powerful word. Stop. And you consciously tell yourself, go. You consciously tell yourself, hug. You consciously tell yourself, forgive. You consciously tell yourself, love, right? See, you take control over your little child mind. See how powerful God made us? Think of it. We become transformed by the renewing. See, we can't keep doing it the old way. We're going to be renewed. God is going to make us new. That's what our relationship with Christ does. We get a new life in him. And you know how he was able to walk on water? He believed he could. And he was above the earth. And he said, I can do this. And so could Peter, right? Yes, we can walk on water, I promise you. Until that little child says, ah. Don't let the child sabotage you and cause you to stop where you need to go. Take control of your conscious mind. You understanding me? I think I've taught enough. You can all tell me to stop. Amen.